Now we good? Now we? Okay. Good. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for braving the smoke. And we have some in our congregation who have breathing problems, and they wisely stayed home today to guard their lungs. But thank you for being here. Thank you for worshiping with us. And we're so glad that we can sing of our Redeemer today, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the theme for our VBS 2 weeks ago was Following Jesus Changes Everything. Following Jesus changes everything. So why is that? Why does following Jesus change things? I'm glad you asked. It's because Jesus Christ is not just some guru who tries to enlighten people, or some great moral teacher laying down a bunch of moral laws. Jesus Christ changes everything in your life because he is God Almighty. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is Almighty God, and he has the power to change lives. Amen? Not only does he lead his followers, he dwells in his followers and changes them from the inside out. Amen? Can anyone say amen to that?
Amen.
The living Lord Jesus Christ, who is Almighty God, dwells in each and every believer. And he is in the business of changing and transforming people, right? Aren't you glad? It's been said that Jesus loves us enough to accept us where we are, but he also loves us enough not to leave us where we are. He's going to make us more and more like him. So, he can do that because he is God the Lord, and he changes things and he changes people. Now, some people have a very small idea of who Jesus is. They may only see him as the one who died on the cross, which is vitally important, by the way, that you see him as your Savior on the cross, but that may be all the further they understand about him. But we're gonna magnify the Lord Jesus over the next 3 months. That means we're gonna make him appear bigger. You can't make him any bigger than he is. But a magnifying glass makes something look bigger. So we want to magnify the Lord. And we want our understanding of Jesus Christ to grow into the majestic, gigantic picture that the Bible paints of him. Because as we grow, as our understanding of Jesus grows. That's why we're going to be studying the book of Colossians for the next few months. Colossians contains some of the most majestic, glorious language describing the Lord Jesus found anywhere in the Bible. It is so powerful. So last week, we looked at the introduction to Colossians. We saw that the Apostle Paul wrote it while he was in prison in Rome. He wrote to the church in the city of Colossae, even though he had not been there. He did not plant the church in Colossae. Someone else did, but he got news about the church from a man named Epaphras, who visited Paul in prison. Paul was under house arrest, and he could receive visitors. So Epaphras visited Paul and told Paul about some of the teaching that was creeping in to the church in Colossae, teaching that denied the deity of Christ and also denied the full humanity of Christ. In other words, denied the whole person of Jesus Christ. So Paul is going to address the false teaching by teaching the truth about Jesus Christ. That's how you combat falsehood, is by preaching the truth, by teaching the truth, by living the truth about Christ, right? So he's going to exhort the saints in Colossae to live a life, that reflects the Lord Jesus. And then he's going to remind them of the amazing things that God has done for them through Christ. So before we, next week, I'm going to give a little plug for next week's sermon, is where Paul really dives into the person of Christ and his glory and his pre-existence and his creation. You're going to be blown away. Amen, Ernie?
I think so.
Yeah. You're going to be blown away by the description and the power and the majesty that is Christ. But before Paul does that, he wants to remind the Colossians of what Jesus has done for them, what they ought to do in response to him, how they ought to live. He's kind of doing it back door. He's starting out with what we ought to do and how we ought to think about Christ, and what Christ has done for us. Then he's going to launch into these beautiful truths about Christ. So we're going to read the passage today that exhorts the saints to live a life that reflects the Lord Jesus, and then we're going to be reminded of what Christ has done. It's amazing what he's done. So let's read this passage, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. We're going to be in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14, just 5 or 6 verses. So he says, for this reason, what reason? Well, last week we saw that they had faith in Christ and they were showing love to one another. So Paul is commending them for their walk in the Lord. And for that reason, we, that's Paul and Timothy, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow. Let's keep going. Yeah, let's read the whole passage. That you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's stop there and have a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you for the great things you've done, the great things you've given us, the great power you've exercised in our life. Thank you that when we came to you, you did amazing things. Some things we may not even realize, but I pray that today we will realize what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would open our hearts to your work, your continued work in us as you change us into your image. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. We invite you by your Spirit to teach us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage is so rich, it's like every verse could be a sermon. So you're going to get 6 sermons today, all for the price of one. Amen? That's a good deal. We're going to explore these 6 verses together. And on the back of your bulletin, if you want to take notes, there are 6 bullet points corresponding with each verse we're gonna read, and you can make notes if you like. And the first bullet point is knowing His will. So back to verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul and his fellow worker Timothy prayed for the saints in Colossae, and their request was that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, God wants you to know His will. You believe that? Yes. He's not trying to hide His will from you. He's trying to reveal His will to you. And He teaches you His will by the power of the Holy Spirit, who teaches us from the Word of God. James says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. So I believe that if you ask the Lord for wisdom, He'll give it to you. Do you believe that? He's not hiding. He's not trying to play hide and seek with you. He wants to show you His will. Now, there are some things that are plain. If you don't know what to do today for God's will, well, you could, for example, give thanks in all things. Paul said to the Thessalonians, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the will of God? Be thankful in all things, right? Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, you're not doing the will of God, right? It's the will of God that you pray without ceasing, that you give thanks in all things, and that you rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's what part of it. Another more sobering will of God that's revealed in Scripture is in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. It's God's will that you abstain from sexual immorality. Amen? Amen. But if you're seeking Him specifically for your will in His life, ask Him and He will give you wisdom. Amen? You will know His will by the power of His Spirit in you and through the Word of God. So that's the first thing Paul asks for the Colossians and for us, that we would know the will of God. Now, I believe that every true child of God has a desire to please God, to please Him, right? If you love somebody, you want to please them. Isn't that right? I hope husbands and wives have that idea. Hey, it's a good thing to please my spouse. You know, hey, it's a good thing to do nice things for my spouse, right? I hope each and every married couple realizes that. Matter of fact, Paul said to the husbands, he who loves his wife loves himself. It's smart, guys. It's smart to love your wife. Amen? But I believe that every child of God wants to please his Lord. And so the reason Paul prayed that the Colossians would know the will of God was so that they would do the will of God. And when you do the will of God, that pleases God. Yes. Right? Yes. So verse 10 is, the next bullet point is pleasing the Lord. Verse 10. So he says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As we walk in his will, our lives reflect the Lord. That's what it means to walk worthy of the Lord. Your life ought to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And as we grow, our walk more and more reflects our talk. You've heard it said, if you can't walk the walk, don't walk the talk, don't talk the talk, right? If you can't walk the walk, don't talk the talk. Well, I think we should talk the talk and learn to walk in a way that corresponds with our talk about the Lord, right? So, this pleases the Lord when we walk in according to his will. The Lord saved us that we might be fruitful. It goes on to say, walking worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, he wants us to be fruitful. In John 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And here is how the Father is glorified, if you bear much fruit. So God wants us to be fruitful in every good work. Amen? And we will grow in the knowledge of God. As we walk in his will, as we bear fruit, we will grow in the knowledge of God. That means we get to know our God better, more intimately, every day. The knowledge of God is knowing God, having a living relationship with him. Okay, verse 11. Your third sermon today is being strengthened in the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, strengthened in the Holy Spirit. So it says, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. The glorious power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit is working in you and through you if you're a believer. And it says that it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. That's found in Philippians 2:13. It is God who's at work. It is the Holy Spirit who is at work, helping you to want to do his will and helping you to do his good pleasure. The Holy Spirit strengthens us according to his glorious power. And you know how that power is manifested? It's not so much through miracles or through electric, stupid. It is. I'll tell you what it is. It's the Lord, the Holy Spirit, working through you, bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit, patience, long-suffering, and joy. That takes the power of God to work through us his fruit, right? He helps us be patient in our tribulation, long-suffering with people, and fills us with joy. Amen? Yeah, it's the power of God working in us to bring about patience, long-suffering, and joy. Amen. All right. Now, verse 12 is beautiful. It's also something that happens by the work of the Holy Spirit. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of light. Wow. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Don't you have a lot to be thankful for today? Yeah. But this is especially sweet that he has made us qualified to share in an eternal inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means that God has adopted you as his son or his daughter. How has he qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light? Well, he's adopted us as his sons and daughters. Are you an adopted son or daughter today? Yes, if you belong to Jesus Christ. And you have an inheritance treasured up in heaven, along with all the saints of light. Wow. Are you looking forward to your eternal inheritance? Yeah, I am. Before you came to Christ, the only thing you were qualified for was eternal condemnation. But now that you belong to Jesus, the Son of God, he shares his inheritance with you. I'd say that's something to be thankful for. Amen? Amen. What else has the Father done? He's delivered us, verse 13, from darkness to light. That's your next, that's for verse 13. From darkness to light. He has delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Wow. I don't know if you're aware of this. Before you came to Christ, you were under the dominion of the prince of darkness, Satan. You were under the sway and power of satanic forces. You were under the power of the enemy. Wow. But our merciful Father delivered us out of the clutches of Satan and transferred us, conveyed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus, the light of the world. You're now in his kingdom. One of my commentaries said that when this is talking about when a conqueror would conquer a country, he would take the inhabitants of that country and transfer them into his country, like what Nebuchadnezzar, when he conquered Judah, did. He took them exile, right? He took them out of their own place and put them in his kingdom. Jesus Christ has taken all the people who believe in him out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Amen? It's a transfer of citizenship. You're no longer a citizen of the devil. You're a citizen of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. From darkness to light. Now, how did God accomplish these glorious things for us? How did he qualify us to be adopted as sons and daughters and heirs of eternal life? How did he deliver us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son? How did he do it?
Jesus.
Jesus, the Redeemer. In a word, he redeemed us. He redeemed us. We have been, verse 14, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Wow. I've been redeemed. What does that mean? What does it mean to be redeemed? You know, the word originally meant going to the slave market and paying the price for a slave and setting that slave free. Jesus Christ saw you and I in the slave market of Satan, enslaved by a horrible, wicked master. And he paid the price of his precious blood to purchase us out of the clutches of Satan, and he set us free. Amen? Wow, you've been redeemed. It means that we've been purchased from slavery to freedom. You were a slave to sin and Satan, but Jesus shed his precious blood to purchase your eternal freedom. He set you free so that you could serve him. Amen? He set you free and freely invited you to serve him. You know, nearly all the blessings of God that Paul talks about in this passage can be found in that word redemption. In our scripture here, it says that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus shed his blood for your forgiveness. And because you are forgiven from all your sins, past, present, and future, you are no longer under the dominion of sin. Amen? You've been rescued. You've been ransomed. You've been redeemed. Now, because you have been redeemed, you will enjoy eternal life in heaven. I'm just going to read a passage in Revelation that is so beautiful. If I can get there. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. So John is in heaven, and he's seeing the Lamb of God taking the scroll from the Father. And verse 8 of Revelation says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb," that's Jesus, "each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang this new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed,'" there's that word, "'have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" You've been redeemed so that you can worship with all the saints in heaven, worship the Lamb of God who shed his blood for you. Amen? You are redeemed unto eternal life. You're also redeemed. This is something we don't talk about too much, but you're redeemed from the curse of the law. Every person on earth is under the law of God. And because we have disobeyed God's law, and everyone here has, because you've disobeyed the law of God, you're under a curse. But Galatians 3:13, this is really great. Oh, this new Bible, the pages are all stuck. We'll get there. Galatians 3:13. Here we go. Christ, Jesus Christ, redeemed us from the curse. Redeemed us, there's that word. He purchased us, he bought us, he redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus hung on that tree and shed his blood to redeem us from the curse of the law. You're no longer condemned by the law because Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled the law and has given you his righteousness. Amen? So, each of us has been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed for eternal life. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And whether we know it or not, we were condemned under God's law. And let me read another scripture in Galatians. It says in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as son. Jesus Christ redeemed us so that we might be adopted as sons and daughters of God. Isn't that great? Wow. Look at all the things he's done by redeeming us. He's redeemed us and therefore forgiven us. He's redeemed us to enjoy heaven. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. And he's redeemed us so that we might be adopted as sons and daughters. Aren't you glad that you're adopted into his family? Mm-hmm. All right, a couple more things. Yeah, just a couple more. Titus. In the book of Titus, chapter 2:14, well, it says that we were redeemed from our lawless deeds so that we might be zealous for good works. He redeemed us from our lawless deeds and redeemed us so that we could do good deeds in the name of Christ. Amen? God redeemed us unto good works. Right? And the good works don't save us. They just reveal that we are saved. It's fruit of our redemption, the good works that we do. And finally, he redeemed us so that we can be a dwelling place for his Holy Spirit. This is so beautiful. 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. That's redemption. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Jesus paid the price for you, redeemed you, and made you a dwelling place for his Holy Spirit. Wow. Holy Spirit indwells each and every believer. Redemption is pretty cool, huh? I'm going to do it. Anybody know the song? You have to repeat after me. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. Hey, that sounds pretty good. And that's not all. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. I went to the river and I got baptized. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. Amen. Hey, you guys are good. I've been redeemed. Oh, I love it. I love to proclaim it. Another great song is Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, right? So here's a quote. To be redeemed, then, is to be forgiven, holy, justified, free, adopted, and reconciled. Wow. All that in redemption. Amen? Amen? Brothers and sisters, you are forgiven. You are holy. You are justified. You are free. You are adopted. And you are reconciled to our God. Amen. Amen? Amen. Don't get too excited about this now. Keep the lid on now. Let's settle down. Settle down, brothers and sisters. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, could accomplish all these things in your life, right? He is Almighty God, and He has redeemed you. So your application today is very simple. If you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, I encourage you to simply bask in the joy of your redemption, to be astounded at what God has done for you, to experience the joy of His presence in your life. Bask in the presence of your Redeemer, because He's here, isn't He? The Lord Jesus Christ is here. And we worship Him as we understand what He's done for us. We worship Him more and more and more. Amen? Amen. Amen. Worship the King of Kings, who is your Redeemer. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are absolutely astounded at what You have done for us. We who have lived a life apart from You, blasphemed You, we've neglected You, we've disobeyed You, we've earned our condemnation. But by Your grace, You have given us everlasting life. You've given us forgiveness and reconciliation. You've given us Your Spirit to dwell within. We love You, Lord. Thank You for being our Redeemer. May we live in light of Your glorious redemption. In Jesus' name, amen. God's own Son.